everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. If you heard my interview yesterday, you know that this week we have a really, really special podcast for you. It's with my husband, Garrett, and he is hosting a new podcast called The Thinking Dad. And so his first interview, his first episode that he's airing that aired yesterday was with Alex Newman. And if you've listened to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast for any length of time, you are probably familiar with him. He's been on my podcast several times. And so we are going to air for the rest of this week, Garrett's conversation with Alex. And it is amazing. I've listened to it and man, they brought it. They talked about education and the importance of not just home education, but biblical education for our kids. And so it's excellent. And I know you guys are going to really enjoy it. So in a minute, you're going to hear the man music come on and it's going to be fun. So share this, share it with your husbands, share it with your friends, share it with your pastor, share it with whoever you want to share it with, whatever man in your life will be encouraged by it. Be sure to do that. But before we get into it, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great homeschool curriculum, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. They have every subject, every age, every grade, and everything they teach is from a strong biblical worldview. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Now enjoy the first part of Garrett's interview with Alex Newman on the Thinking Dad podcast.
Living proof of the phrase, it's not what you know, but who you know, and broadcasting from my co-ed man cave in northeastern Oklahoma, I'm your host, Garrett Hampton, and you are listening to The Thinking Dad. I am so glad you've joined me today as we kick off The Thinking Dad podcast. I have my good friend Alex Newman with me today, and I know this conversation is going to blow you away. I don't ever tell Alex this, but he is one of the smartest people I know, and it's a huge privilege getting to launch The Thinking Dad podcast with him as my first guest. Well, Alex, for our listeners who may not know you, take a minute to tell us about yourself and your family.
Well, thank you so much, brother. It's really a great honor to be on your program. I appreciate you and your wife and all the work you guys do for the Lord and for his church. It's just it's a tremendous honor to be here with you. So thank you, Garrett. As for me, I'm most importantly, I'm a child of the Most High, adopted into his family. I like to evangelize. That's kind of my thing. My day job is journalism, and so I'm a Christian journalist. My motto comes out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them, some translations say. And so I just feel unbelievably blessed that I get to reprove and expose the unfruitful works of darkness all day, every day, 6 days a week. I have my own company, Liberty Sentinel Media. We do a lot of different things. We produce some shows. We put out a newsletter. We operate a website. We've got contracts with a lot of great ministries and organizations to help them. I also serve as senior editor of the New American Magazine. I'm a regular contributor to a lot of different publications, including the Epoch Times, now one of the largest newspapers in the country. And so it's just a real blessing to be able to speak truth into the culture, into society. And obviously, as you know, Garrett, one of my major passions is education and discipleship. I think it's the most That's important right. crisis facing our families, our churches, and of course, our country. And so, again, tremendous honor to be here with you to talk about what I consider to be one of the most important issues. Oh, and I forgot to mention on the education front, I have a volunteer job, too. I'm the executive director of a ministry called Public School Exit. Our goal is to get as many children out of the government schools as quickly as possible and to knock down every possible barrier. We don't want money. We don't want time. We don't want any thing to be an obstacle to especially Christian children, but really all children, to be liberated from the government indoctrination camps posing as schools.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We stand with you. And many of our listeners may know you've been a guest on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast a few times with my wife, Yvette. And I'll tell you, Alex, looking back at the movie Schoolhouse Rocked that we produced, everything about that movie, I just love. I love how God put the cast together and everything they brought to the film. And the one thing I just wish I could go back and do again is I wish I could have had your voice in the film. We met you after it was filmed, and man, I wish you could have been in it, because I've heard you speak many, many times on this subject, and every time it's just exactly what's needed at the right time. So thank you. You recently posted on Twitter, or X now, which, man, I still can't deal with the name change.
Me neither.
I'll be honest.
I still call it Twitter too.
I know. You tweeted, "The issue that transcends and supersedes all others is education. If we lose on that front, we lose all other battles." Why is it that serious, Alex?
Well, the simple answer is that whoever captures the hearts, the minds, and ultimately the souls of the children is going to direct the future. And this is not some unique discovery that I have made. The totalitarians have understood this for at least a century, probably longer. It just wasn't feasible to corral all the children into brainwash camps. But today, that is not only feasible, it's the norm, it's the accepted standard. And the reality is, even if we're able to push the evildoers and the totalitarians back for another generation, maybe if we work really hard, maybe even two generations, if they've got the young people, it's over. And right now, I don't mean to sound like a doom monger, but I think we just need an honest assessment of where we're at. Right now, Christians in America are losing this battle in a catastrophic way. 80 to 90% of Christian children from Christian homes who go through 12 years of government education are going to leave the church and leave the faith. You look at the polling data, scientific poll commissioned by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. They found that 70% of my generation, I'm one of those goofy millennials, 70% of us say we're going to vote for socialists in the future. Socialism, I think, is best understood as the antithesis of everything that the Bible teaches, everything that God has ordained. And then another scientific poll, again, looking at millennials, for the first time in all American history, we have a generation where a majority rejects Christianity. Less than half of millennials identify as Christians. They didn't drill down any further on that. I would have liked to talk to those 48 or 49% or whatever it was who identify as Christians, because I have talked to a lot of them, and what you'll find very quickly is they're Christian in name only. They have no relationship with the Lord. They have no understanding of what he teaches, what he expects from us. It's just because, you know, their parents took them to church or something. So this is a catastrophe. We are going to lose on all these other fronts. Now, I always caution, you know, first of all, Christian education doesn't save your children. Jesus Christ does. And second of all, we know for a fact that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. But that doesn't mean that Christianity will continue in America. That doesn't mean that America will continue to be a tool that God used to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. In fact, at the current rate that we're going, I suspect America will be a genuinely post-Christian country within a generation or two if we don't stop the bleeding.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're there. One of the things I often say is, it doesn't matter how committed the Christians are currently in the church, if all the adults are there serving God faithfully and reading their word and living out the Great Commission, aside from this area, if their children are being educated by the secular state, the church dies in a generation. There's just no way around that. So you say we lose all these battles, and you've talked a little bit about these different realms. I want to just throw a few at you really quickly, and I want to hear how you would say this overwhelming influence of public schools is affecting these realms. Okay, first of all, the family, the basic unit of structure in our culture. How is it affected?
The family is being demolished. In fact, we're watching a controlled demolition of the family unit. We all know the statistics. I mean, half of marriages, they say, in the United States end in divorce. The overwhelming majority of children in a lot of different communities are raised in single-parent households. Young people are overwhelmingly rejecting even the idea of marriage, the idea of family. It's at the point now where a huge segment of our young people, depending on what part of the country you're in, are now hoping to be castrated, hoping to have hysterectomies and double mastectomies, making them literally incapable of ever starting a real family. So it's hard to overstate the significance of this, right? Family is the most important building block of civilization. Marriage, of course, is a representation of the relationship between Christ and the church. It's a supernatural institution. And what happens as the family crumbles is everything else crumbles along with it. And I submit to you, Garrett, this is a direct result. And I'm not beating around the bush and no sugarcoating this. This is a direct result of the indoctrination taking place in government schools. In fact, I've got two chapters in my new book dealing with this very process. Both of them surround the influence of so-called sex education, the transgenderism and things. And so we've watched this very, very steady progression. Now, there are other factors as well. Of course, the government's war on poverty, literally subsidizing unwed motherhood. So there's a lot of policies that contributed to this, but I would argue that overwhelmingly the most dominant force responsible for this is the indoctrination of children in not just godless government schools, but literally pagan, literally diabolical schools that are where the program, the curriculum is calculated to undermine, first of all, children's relations with their parents, and second of all, children's desire to have a family, to have children, and to pass on values, culture, tradition to the next generation. I would say this is probably one of the most catastrophic problems with what's happening in the government school is the war that it's waging on the family.
I completely agree. I saw the other day a statistic, and I've seen this before. It depends on who's polling, what results you get, but it looks like approximately 20% of Gen Z identifies as some form of LGBTQI, whatever. And among girls, the number is higher. And I've seen as high as 30% of that generation. And the problem is you look at the graph and it goes generation to generation, it goes low, 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 and then it just launches up. And it's impossible to think that that's not an effect of this indoctrination that's been poured into the schools. We have Planned Parenthood and other organizations, GLSEN and these organizations who are in the schools and they're effectively discipling kids in the religion of sexual freedom and immorality and the complete divorce from a moral foundation. So I agree with you.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children." If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com.
We talked a little bit about the death of the church, so I want to go to the next realm, which is the state. How is the public school affecting the state of our nation, of our states, and our republic?
Well, the simple term is it is throwing it into chaos with the ultimate goal of destroying it. One more quick thing to say about the collapse of the family. This was always the design from the very beginning when these sex ed things started coming in. In fact, the first guy to really seriously propose the idea of government schools, Robert Owen, back in the early 1800s, his goal was to eliminate Christianity, according to a whistleblower. And part of the process of doing that was breaking down the family. The communists in Eastern Europe understood this 100 years ago. They brought these ideas over to the United States through the Frankfurt School. They painted the father as an authoritarian, as a fascist. So this was always the calculated design because they understood that it would break down the family, which would break down the culture, and of course, Christianity, which was their big target. You know, once you interrupt that transfer of values and things from one generation to the next, they thought they'd have a blank slate to write on. And this same process is now taking place when it comes to the nation, when it comes to the government. So America was founded largely on biblical principles of government, of society, of culture, etc. Now, that doesn't mean every single one of the founders was a Bible-believing Christian. That's probably not the case. But the principles that were articulated, these come directly from the Bible. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson called them a self-evident truth, but he actually stole that language, not the self-evident truth part, the but the part about a God-given right to life, liberty, property, etc. He stole that language from the Presbyterians in North Carolina, later from Samuel Adams, who circulated the document on the rights of the colonists through the Committees for Correspondence. So these were biblical principles that were at the foundation of our nation. And of course, that resulted in the Declaration of Independence, that resulted in the Constitution. Well, what we have had now is four, maybe five generations of indoctrination designed to discredit not just those documents, but also the principles that underpin them. You talk to an average young person today, they have no idea what's even written in those documents. All they know is, and they regurgitate it like trained seals, slave owners, white guys, dead white guys, right? Dead old white guys is the meme du jour. And this is all very, very strategic, right? They understood that if they could discredit these principles, and these are universal principles, by the way, they come out of the Bible. They're not unique to America. Yes, America's founding fathers were sinful. They're human beings in a fallen, sinful world. Right. But the principles are applicable anywhere and everywhere. The principle that comes out of the Bible that all men are created equal, right? Which is, of course, the principle that ended up eradicating slavery, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. That comes from the Bible. The principle that God gave us rights, like the right to life. Again, that comes straight out of the Bible. God said, thou shalt not murder. He said, murder is evil. He said, government exists to punish evil. Therefore, government has an obligation to help you protect your right to life and to punish those who infringe on it. Same thing with property. Thou shalt not steal. So these are just biblical principles. And what the schools are doing is very, very strategically and masterfully. I got to give them credit where credit is due. They're very, very good at what they're doing. They are undermining those principles. They're undermining the values, and they're actually totally reorienting children's trust and worldview in a direction that is utterly hostile to the United States of America, to the principles that the United States of America was founded on. And that's why we see young people today, literally revolutionaries, ready to go out and burn their cities down, ready to go out and open up our borders, ready to go out and surrender American sovereignty. It's because they've been brainwashed. They've been indoctrinated to believe these things. And of course, even if that wasn't happening, the destruction of the family that we talked about would lead inevitably to the destruction of the nation. But Amen. You add to that the deliberate agenda to destroy the nation, and you see we are facing a catastrophe if we don't get this turned around.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to go one realm higher. You are a man who works on a global stage exposing the wiles of the global elites many times. I think the last time we were texting or emailing, you had just returned from Dubai. How does this have a global impact, and what is the global strategy for these people?
So for a long time, the global strategy was not really talked about. It wasn't really on the front pages. What we're seeing now is they're coming out of the closet on this front. And of course, the global angle directly affects the effort to destroy and undermine not just the United States of America, but the nation state more broadly, and also the family around the world. In fact, you see this very clearly. To take one obvious example, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, put out global, they called it International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education. They want to teach five-year-olds things that are, as the Bible says, shameful to speak of. I can't even talk about these things because they're so wicked. I wouldn't teach them to an adult, much less to a five-year-old child. They're normalizing every kind of perversion. They're actually openly promoting relations between children and adults. It is absolutely monstrous. And so what's happening at the international level is they're trying to standardize government education around the world. And at this point, they're doing it very openly. So the UN developed some decades ago, actually, what they call the World Core Curriculum. Now, we won't get into great detail. I've got a whole chapter on this. But at its core, the guy who wrote them, his name is Robert Mueller. He's called the father of global education. He was the Assistant Secretary General of the UN. He was absolutely blasphemous. He repeatedly referred to the United Nations as the body of Christ. Of course, we as believers know that the church is the body of Christ, not this collection of gangsters and mass murderers and dictators and kleptocrats. And so he comes out and he says, he writes in the foreword to the teacher's manual for the World Core Curriculum, which he says should be taught in every school to every child on the planet. He says that it's based on the teachings of Alice Bailey and the Tibetan teacher Juval Kul, which that's going to mean nothing to most Americans, but it means something very significant to the global elites. I actually had a book here within grabbing distance yesterday. I wonder what I did with it. But Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. That's no joke. That's what she called her organization. She claimed to be communicating with these spiritual entities that she called Ascended Masters. And so when the guy who writes the World Core curriculum tells you that his teachings are based on this really communication with demons. If you read your Bible, Alice Bailey wasn't talking to any ascended masters. These are just demons right from the pit of hell. I don't believe that she was a schizophrenic. I do believe she was actually communicating with supernatural, intelligent beings. And they write extensively about their vision of education. In fact, they say education is the vehicle that's going to move us into this apparently wonderful new age of conscious evolution and this, you know, fifth dimension. Of course, it's all satanic. And then to make it real, to bring it back to the United States of America. So Bill Gates, obviously very, very important public health expert and climate expert, right? At least that's what we're expected to believe. So he actually comes along, and in 2004, he goes to UNESCO headquarters in Paris and signs an agreement with UNESCO. And that agreement states that Microsoft and Bill Gates are going to work with the UN Education Agency on creating global education standards, global curricula, global teacher training programs, and even the global technology systems to make it all possible, which, by the way, the technology is a critical part of all this. And then he comes back to the United States and he starts pouring millions of dollars and then billions of dollars. He ended up putting $2.3 billion of his money behind this project known as Common Core, which today, ladies and gentlemen, is taught in every one of the 50 states. I don't care if your legislators told you they got rid of it. No, they didn't. They renamed it. In almost every case, it's like 95% Common Core with a couple things added and subtracted, and they just renamed it, the Indiana state standard. It's the same thing. Then he bought ads. Bill Gates literally bought ads to tell you what a great program this was. I've got some of them. And one of the things they brag about is that this is going to align American education with international standards. So it's them telling you what they're doing. They've been working on this for a very long time. You know, if you go back to the founding of UNESCO, the first guy who ran it, Julian Huxley, was pretty open about how they were going to use the schools to instill kind of global citizenship in the minds of children. He was also, by the way, the head of the Eugenics Society, this, you know, pseudoscientific racist who thought some races were better than other races and things that totally bonkers. And then he was also the head of the Humanist Association, which, of course, John Dewey and his buddies, the founder of the American public school system, thought they had invented a new religion, that you're God and I'm God. So it comes full circle. Right? And as Jesus explained, you're either with me or you're against me. Well, apply that to what the UN is doing in the education realm. You'll very quickly realize they are not with Christ, even though they're very open about the fact that they want to inject spirituality education into everything. But this is literally enshrined in their international agreements, Garrett. If you go to Agenda 21, Chapter 36, this is the UN's agenda for the 21st century. In Chapter 36, they tell you that this so-called education will be critical and indispensable to giving children the right attitudes, values, beliefs, etc. And they tell you that it's got to include spirituality education. And they're serious about that. It's just not any spirituality that a Christian would recognize.
Right. Yeah, it strikes me. I think it's time that Christians stop living in the American Christian bubble, especially American Christians, of course, but this Western Christian bubble, and we start understanding that in the Bible, we're told there is a plan for a global government, and it won't be run by Christ until he returns, but there is a government that will be established of the Antichrist, and all nations will be subjected to it, and it won't be a good thing. And when we see these globalists making these moves, and they're very clear now, like you said, the mask is off, it's all out in the open. We need to understand this isn't just about school. Bill Gates isn't just interested in educating our children. He's interested in being a part of a movement that will eventually establish the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so this is something, as we think globally as Christians, we have to be on guard against.
I hope you enjoyed this first part of Garrett's interview with Alex Newman on the Thinking Dad podcast. Be sure to stay tuned to the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next. And you can find everything Schoolhouse Rocked on our website, schoolhouserocked.com. And you can find out more about the Thinking Dad at the Thinking Dad website, which is thinkingdad.net. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here tomorrow for part two.
The people who dreamed up this system, the people who implemented this system, the people who reformed this system to turn it from what it was into what it is today, always had a plan. And that plan always was, from the very beginning, to undermine the Christian faith, to undermine the family, to undermine biblical principles like private property, like the free enterprise system, like the nuclear family, like the purpose of government. So that was always the intention. From their perspective, the reason was that Christianity was a giant obstacle to their plans. You couldn't eliminate private property when God said, thou shalt not steal. You can't steal people's stuff if everybody believes that it's a divine decree that you not steal people's stuff.